You mourn and sigh less, and you begin to laugh at life with God by your side. Acknowledging the present with a celebration. Even in Esther's story, the past with all its sadness did not eclipse their joy. Once things turned around. By now you know this story very well. How the plot thickened, how disaster seemed to be written across every Jewish life, how doom was predicted so clearly, so eloquently, and how God changed the events to turn wrong into right. Let's return to one detail we can't afford to overlook. Therefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. In the first month, which is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Pur, that is the lot, was cast before Haman from day to day, from month to month, until the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Esther chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. When Haman was trying to decide when to carry out his plot to exterminate the Jews, he relied on the ancient custom of casting lots. A lot was called Pur, and in the casting of the lots, he came upon a date, the 13th of Adar, which interests me is not only the date, but the original name of the lot, Pur. C.F. Keel states that Pur is an old Persian word meaning lot. In English, we usually form the plural of a word by adding S or ES. In Hebrew and its sister language Aramaic, a singular term is turned into plural by adding I am. Thus, the Hebrew plural for cherub is not cherubs, but cherubim. The plural for seraph, another kind of angel, is not seraphs, but seraphim. The multiple forms of the god Baal is not Baals, but Baalim. So if we pluralize Pur, making the lot represent lots, it would be Purim. So Haman, in casting the Purim, settled upon a certain day that would rid the kingdom of the Jews. And letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to seize their possession as plunder. Esther chapter 3, verse 13. We know, of course, that the tables were soon turned. Haman's anti-Semitism was uncovered and disclosed to the king, and Esther's heart won the king's mind. And the king made the decision not only to kill Haman, but to wipe the slate clean and neutralize the sentence of death for the Jews by enabling them to defend themselves. This was done on the 13th day of the month Adar, the very day they were originally to have died. And on the 14th day, they rested and made it a day of feasting and rejoicing. Esther chapter 9, verse 17. In honor of this remarkable change of events, the Jews declared a day of celebration called, appropriately, the Feast of Purim, and it is still celebrated by the Jews to this day. What was going to be their death turned and became their hope for life in the future, their cause for celebration. I find it interesting that in this case, their past caused them to celebrate, not grieve. This is one of the reasons our holidays, based on wonderful memories, are such celebrative times. In those cases, the memory of some past event becomes the ground for celebration. In his later years, Vance Havner, the evangelist, wrote a little book entitled It Is Toward Evening. In it, he tells the unforgettable story of a little town in Alabama where the major livelihood was raising cotton. One year, as it appeared that there would be a bumper crop, the boll weevil invaded, devastated the crop, and destroyed the economy of that little town. Farmers, however, are an ingenious lot, and these particular farmers were determined not to simply sit back and move into the poorhouse. One man got the idea of planting peanuts instead. Boll weevils don't like peanuts. Another farmer decided to plant yet another kind of crop, and others followed suit. Before long, bumper crops of peanuts and other produce began to repair the economy of this town. Interestingly, the town later became to be known as Enterprise, Alabama. And do you know what they did? They erected a monument to the boll weevil. As Havner writes insightfully, "All things work together for good to the Christian, even our boll weevil experiences. Sometimes we settle into a humdrum routine as monotonous as growing cotton year after year. Then God sends the boll weevil. He jolts us out of our groove, and we must find new ways to live. Financial reverses, great bereavement, physical infirmity, loss of position. How many have been driven by trouble to be better husbandmen and to bring forth far finer fruit from their souls? The best thing that ever happened to some of us was the coming of our boll weevil.